Today's daf is daf chet, and we continue where we left off. So Rabbi Yaakov Baracha says b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, k'divrei mishu hu omer l'shiabod mashlim v'yotzeh. So there's different explanations how to read this, the flow of the Gemara here, but the Korbanit explains as follows. What's mashlim v'yotzeh? Here. So he says mashlim v'yotzeh means, I'll just read inside, im padau l'shem shiabod. So if you remember, we're talking about someone, if we have an eved, I mean, a Jewish person who sold himself as an eved to a goy. He said, and the Torah says the relatives should come and redeem him, and or other people as well. And there was a machloket in terms of when they're redeeming, what happens to him. If you remember, one shita, one opinion said that when he redeems him, if it's family members, he goes free, where everyone else makes him comes to servitude, where the other opinions say that it's reversed. Those are the two opinions we saw. Now, that was machloket between. No, it was Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, let's make that clear. Now, what the Gemara is saying is, okay, whichever shittur it is, if he's got the shibud, for how long? Because if you remember, we said accordingly in the Torah, if someone sells himself as a slave to a goy, then they're la'abdut until the ovel. So if someone redeems them, I explained that it would also be at the time that it'd be, whoever redeems them, even though normally an eved ivri is only for 6 years, would also be to the ovel. However, what Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha says here, k'divrei mishu omer l'shiabud mashlim v'yotzeh, Korbanedes says mashlim ha-shiabud dahinu 6 shanim v'chachich yotzeh. He can only do up to 6 years. So if it was a goy, it sounds like mashlim, and if it was with a goy for only 3 years, it can only be 3 years and you have to set him free. Okay? However, v'hatani, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Im mishegar lo haru kinim kar lo mishabed v'yotzeh. Now mishabed v'yotzeh, the way Korbanet explains it, he says v'achi perusha ha'istra shegar lo miyad ha'nochri mishabed la'kol zman she'achayv le'el she'abed la'akum. When he redeems him, and whichever scenario it is, where it becomes his eved, it would be under the same terms as he was an eved to the goy, meaning ad yovel, even more than 6 years. So how do we miyash of the two? The Gemara says, Amrav Abba Mari late kan mishabed v'yotze el mashlim v'yotze. So just to explain what that means, Korbanes says lo gar sin bar baita mishabed v'yotze el ahachi gar sin and you say and said mashlim v'yotze. So according to the understanding, mashlim v'yotze simply means no, it's only other terms of normal eved ivri. That would be the conclusion the sugya according to the Korban Ha'ida. It's interesting that Pnei Moshe has completely flipped the whole thing around in terms of what's mishabed or mashlim. The whole thing is upside down. And he says, it comes to the opposite conclusion. Pnei Moshe says, "Some yikam mishabed de'ain dino ela ki ilu tachet yada nochri mashlim adnati ovevotze." So they, because they switch the semantics of the different terminology, they come to the opposite conclusions. So according to Korban Eida, the conclusion is that someone redeems, and it's in the context where he would become his eved, this ivri, this Jew that was an eved to a goy. According to Korban Eda, it's treated like a normal eved ivri. After the 6 years has expired, he goes free. According to Pnei Moshe, the conclusion of the sugya is no, he becomes Adi Yovel. Mamash Adi Yovel. Okay, now the Gemara says, Ratzu krovav shel rishon ligael, we say, golim lahem. Ratzu krovim shel sheni lagel en golim lahem. Now, this is a bit of an interesting piece trying to understand what's the rishon and sheni here. It's very difficult to understand. So the Korban Eda says, let's just read it first, Korban Eda, and I'll show you the read bars in a moment. It says, Ha'eved Ivri Shnish Bakai. We're talking about an Eved Ivri that was then taken captive. So now you've got Rishon Sheni. Im Ratzu Krovav Shel Rabbo HaRishon Lig'ol, meaning if the Krovav of the Rabbo HaRishon to redeem, Go'olin Lahem La'atzmam L'shabed, it can be for themselves. However, Ratzu Krovav Shel Sheni, what's a Sheni mean? Klomaratzu krovav shel ha'eved. That's what Shani is here. I don't understand how it's Shani, but he says the eved Shani. Okay, so the Rishon is the first, if you like, owners, an eved ivri, meaning who was seemed to be under the care of a Jew and then was taken captive. And so those original owners, when they can dream, they can take him for themselves. However, the shel sheni here means the krovim of the eved, the second person, I guess, in this story. I guess I'd have to explain it. They couldn't take it for themselves. Right after they redeem him, if the family members redeem him from this goy, he would go free completely. Now, therefore, according to that reading, Rabbi Yossi says, "B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, atik maspik manda amar be'elel shachrero b'shar kol olam shibud." It must be according to the opinion. Let's get it the right way around. Which is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that if the family members redeem, it would go free, and Shar Kolam Lashiabud, it would fit in with that understanding of the sugya. Okay. But again, this Lashon of Rishon and Sheni is very difficult. I'll show you the Ridbaz, however. The Ridbaz, he explains that there's a big difference, if you like, between the two different opinions. I'll explain it. It's a long piece. We're not going to go through it inside. I'll just explain it outside. There's a major difference if you say it's the relatives have the mitzvah to if the relatives are the ones that redeem and to set him free, and others would be shiabud, or it's the other way around. What's the difference? According to the first way of understanding, then it's almost like there's a mitzvah that's mutalit. There's a specific mitzvah on the family specifically to redeem him to set him free. I'll read the Bidul Lashon. Kochat amit mutal arakrov nigolot or yoter min arachokim. Al ken therefore gulat krovim lishichrur, right? Therefore, it's a mitzvah on the krovim to the, if you understand, to actually to free him. Masha ein ken begulat acherim ein chal mitzvah. There's mitzvah on that at all. Achreishem acharat atzmo laatzmo, because this person sold himself to la'akum liftoto rak lishiabud. Therefore, if they want to redeem him, they can keep him to themselves. Okay, so now if you say that's a specific, according to that understanding, there's a specific mitzvah on the family to redeem them. And if that's the case, then it's very much like he says, a bit like Yibum. With Yibum, who's the mitzvah on to do Yibum first? The oldest of the tribe. There's this order of precedence. And if there's and since the Torah discusses an order of precedence, it says Pigu Krovim or Dodor, Ben Dodor, and it starts going more distant, then you can have Rishon and Sheni here. You mean you can have this concept of who should be the one. There's a hakdama. Let's talk about that way. There's an order of precedence here. Okay? It says, akor im ken akochach kolamukdam bepasa kodem legula, says. De achiv hu arishon mutal alav yoter min dodo, min ben dodo. Val ken kishrotze achav legula, if one ziv vado ben dodo, rotzim gam ken, ein l'shein legula b'makom rishon. The shein he doesn't, rishon gets first thing. Kumo b'yimumui says, de'ein rishut lakata li'abim b'makom she'agadah rotzeh. However, if he says, it's the other way around, if you said that really if anybody else redeems them, then that would go free, and it's a family of the shibud. That means it's like almost universal mitzvah on everybody to set him free. So there'll be no different, there's no level of precedence there. Okay? And that's how he sort of explains, it is follows. Ratzu krovav sharishon ligol golimoto. Ratzu krovav sheni ligol engolin lahem. Now, meaning, there's an order of precedence. The rishon would come before the sheni to do so. And the only way to understand that there's a system of precedence, is if you say the Torah said there's a specific mitzvah on the family to do so, and the Torah itself listed the order of precedence. That's when you have rishon come before sheni. That's why it says it must be Ele l'shichru b'shar kolam l'shiabud, because nobody else is obligated. There's no mitzvah on anybody else, because what did this guy sell himself to a guy for? However, once again, but there would be no level of precedent, order of precedence, if it was going to the other shitta, which was Rabbi Akiva, who says, well, there's mitzvah on everybody. And if it's mitzvah on everybody to free this guy, because Nebuch, he is being mufka, it says, Shelo yitamu b'en ha'akum, because this person will end up being like disappearing from amongst the Jews, will become assimilated as a result. Then since it's a universal mitzvah, there's no level of precedence. So the only way you can say precedence is if you say it was a specific mitzvah on the family, okay? Which is the way he explained it. Okay, I just thought it was a fascinating way to explain the sugya that helps us understand what the Rishon and Sheni is here. Fine. Okay. Shmuel bar Abba, by Kamei Rabbi Yaseh, Hachik says v'chishev, v'chiktiv v'chishev. Here it says, when regarding the remaining years, we do a sort of calculation for the Eved to see how much, in terms of based on his value, proportional to the amount of years left, how much he has to pay in order to be freed. Okay. But also, elsewhere, we also saw the concept of doing a chishev, meaning doing this calculation to if you like, redeem something. What's that? That is someone who is makdish their field in Yovel. We discussed it. Makdish their field and depending on how, not in Yovel, but depending how many years remain to the Yovel year, we said there's a fixed amount to be paid proportional to space, and it reduces with time towards the end. Now the Gemara says, however, in our case, meaning by the Eved, when we calculate the time remaining, we consider even the months remaining. We saw this discussion previously. However, Chodeshim v'shanim v'yotze. V'hacha, when it comes to the steach uzah, field that someone's ancestral land that they umaktish the base of Mikdash, then we don't calculate chodeshim v'shanim v'yotze. Meaning we just look at how many years. We're not the lashon is ding machshim chodeshim lehekdash. It's just proportional amount of years, and we don't start reducing it with level of granularity of looking at months as well. So Gemara says, why is that? So the Mara Amrali, in other words, if there seems to be the same terminology, but both you think you treat them the same way. So Gemara says Amrali Shniyahi Shikshita Torah Leschir, because in the Torah, in the pasuk that discusses this eved, it refers to him like a schir. So the pasuk is Vishemin Konehu Mishnat Himachro Lo Adshnat Yovel. Okay, Vikesef Mimkaro BeMispar Shanim Kemei Schir Yaimo. Okay. Which is again this reducing effect, but it's in the Torah it says it's referred to as schir. Ma zeh mechashev, when you come to a paid worker, you calculate with granularity. You don't just say, "Oh, we'll round it to the nearest year." So too, af mechashev. Also, when it comes to this eved, af zeh mechashev chadashim v'shanim v'yotze. Okay, the Gemara now says v'yatzachinam. This here is referring to this ama ivriya. And we say that when does she go free? It could either be with 6 years, but could also be with bagrut or sima, or when she matures. So the fact that she's v'etzachinam, she goes for free. Why would she go free? That's eluyah may be a grut. In kasef, because it's a chinam in kasef. Again, we discuss this being superfluous once, at least double language of being free and not requiring money. Elu asimanim, meaning already when she sees the first signs of maturity, when she's a na'ara, she'd go free. Raz says, 1 second, why do I need both? Clearly, if you've reached Na'arut, you're free, you're never going to reach Bagrut to be free. Gemara says, V'yomer Bechamen. Ilan Bechamen, I eat Yomer im basimanim yatze. If I just taught the pasuk by simanim, she goes free, Lakolshing, how much more so? If she becomes a Bagaret, she'll never reach being a Bagaret. So Iluken, the Gemara says, Hayit Yomer hen en Yomer beger. Vadinotenu il v'yatzam reshuta av v'yatzam reshuta don, ma reshuta av en yotze ela, change the word, Baberger. In other words, had it not mentioned this double language in the pasuk to teach us both bagrut and yemei na'arut, I would have thought that just as she leaves the reshut of ha'av, if you remember, when does she come fully independent? Not when she's a na'ara. The father can still, she gets ma'asei adeya during the na'arut and things like that, only when she becomes a beggar. So too, I would think as well, when does she become an independent person, just as she's completely independent from the father when she becomes a bulgaret. So too would be the case also for this Ama Ivriya. In other words, ma roshuta av inotze ela bebega, when she becomes much of a bulgaret, like fully matured, after so too leaves the adon. Lefun kim, that's why I had to say, tzarech lemeh v'yatzachinam, elam abeger, en kasef elasimim. To teach us, we need this double lashon to ensure that we understand that already from the first signs of maturity, the shtei sarot, she's already considered free. Yimra says, oh chalif. Okay, granted that we need both. Why are you learning Yatzachinam is beggar and kasef is simanim? Why can't you learn the other way around? Meaning, why would one imply the other? The Gemara says, well, quite simply, because Rav Tanchum said, B'shem Rav Chuna, en kasef, meaning, b'chol makom sheyesh kesef la'av, en kesef la'adon. So I'll read you the Korban Eidos. Darshin an hachi, en kesef la'adon, aval yesh kesef la'av. Now, what age is there kesef la'av, the kesef kiddushim if he marries her off? That would be, vayinu kesef kiddushim, that would be when she's in the ara. Hilkach mokina in kesef le'simanim. Why? Because min bagrut, if she comes a bogeret, well, she's completely independent. The kesef kiddushim would go to her. Okay? And the av in zakabi kiddushim, mishtibishagra in avirashutba, because she's completely independent. Okay, that's just to explain the nuance in the psukim. Now, the Gemara says, asher lo ya'ada vehefta. So melamed she'enu meyaedet la ad she'e b'yom kidei liftota uvamas or uvamasei adeya shaveh pruta ubigiron or bigiru eya shaveh pruta that Rebbe Yehuda. So if you remember, we explained that the whole point of an ama ivriya was really for the purpose of marriage, really, meaning either to do what's called yi'ud, really to marry the adon or this son of the adon. Okay. Now, what the Gemara is saying is, what happens if she's reaching mamash the end of her expiry, meaning it's only meant to be 6 years? Again, she'd be freed in 6 years. And there's a short amount of time left. What the in order to do yi'ud, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, there has to be enough value, if you like, left in her, a shaveh pruta's worth, so that you can turn that into kesef kiddushin. Okay? That's, in other words, that could be used like kiddushin. That's to be a shaveh pruta's worth. That's a way, that's a mechanism on which it works. So in other words, either the ma'aseh adeya, her sort of productivity output, or her actual value, or bigurei shaveh pruta. That's the thing of Dibrei Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. However, Chachamim says no. It can be moments before Shkia, and the guy decides, okay, actually, we should do Yud, and they could do it, and they could say, Mazel Tov, they're happily married. Okay? Presumably. So, why Adim Dumei Chama? So, the Korbanator says here, even towards the last, mamash last moments of the sixth year, Chachamim understand, the Me'or Rishonot, the money that was paid initially for her to be an Avriya, that was already the Kiddushim Nitnu. That's already considered the Kesef Kiddushin. Therefore, you don't need a Shaveh Pruta's worth at the end. Bracha LeKiddushin. Kedemasik, as we'll see the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't know this yet, but that's what the Kormanas are filling up, so at least we can understand what's happening. Or doesn't know, I just don't think the Gemara doesn't know, it hasn't addressed it yet. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Yehud works with the remaining value she has. So if there's not a Shaveh Pruta worth, then Yehud would work. However, according to Chachamim, that first money that was paid was to him kiddushin. If you like, let's say al tnai that he wants to do yud. Let's term it that way. And therefore, if he wants to do yud, it doesn't matter how much value is left, as long as she's still considered within the terms of her being an amai, pardon me, amai vriya. And therefore, it would be fine. She could do kiddushin. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Amrav Chiya Barada, Kol Modim be'Eved Ivri." When it comes to Eved Ivri, however, Adju Shaveh Pruta. Meaning, if the Eved Ivri wants to, if you like, redeem himself, that's to be Shaveh Pruta's worth left. The Gemara says, Yut Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Makes a lot of sense for Rabbi Kontra Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. So the question is, my time at the Rabbana, what's the shit of Rabbana? Why, if there's not even a Shaveh Pruta's worth, you can still do Yehud? The Gemara says, continue the question, Kesef Ein Kan, Maaseh Yadayim Ein Kan, there's nothing left of value, but Mahu Me'adah, what can you do Yehud with? So Amar Zira, Me'adah Bedvarim. All he has to do is go up to her and say, She'omer La B'fnei Shnayim, in front of two witnesses, according to Korban Eda, Harei at Meyuadet Li. That's all you have to say, just to make that declaration, and the Yehud occurs. So the Gemara says, well, how so? So Tani Rabbi Yoshaya, Keter Miyada, Omer La Bifnei Shnayim, Harei at Meyuadet Li, Adat Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Basof Not Ten La Kesef Yehudin. At the end, he has to give some sort of all, the value, some sort of Kesef Yehudin, whatever money is remaining, that's a Kesef Yehudin. Or value, I should say, remaining. Adat Rabbana, Mishari Shonan, Tana Kesef Yehudin. As we said, already explained it, that since the money in the very beginning was Hashem Kiddushin, all he has to do is say now immediately, and it's, if you like, the that makes the Kesef Kiddushin that was given over in the beginning hold, and she was Mekudeshet. Now that makes a big nafkimin, as we'll see in a moment. My nafkimin, mean, what's a nafkimin between two of them? Maaseh Adeya. What about all her Maaseh Adeya, everything that she produced during that time in between when she became Amariya and Yehud? Because Mandam Rebasof, the shita that says really at the end, Vesof Natama, Kesef Yudim, Maaseh Adeya Shel Ba'ala. Then what would happen? In other words, if, again, which was the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that Yud only really takes hold at the very end, then she was considered really an Amah Ivriya all the way to that point, and all the Maaseh Adeya goes to who? The Adon. Simple. However, Umanda Amah Beshar Rishonani Tanakoi Chachamim, however, that the Kesef Kiddushin was really given in the very beginning, and it was almost like hanging or waiting to be take effect until Yehud occurs. That means Maaseh Adeya, that means all the Maaseh Adeya that she produced during that whole time until Yehud actually goes to the father. Why does it go to the father? Because you have a look, because the Korban Eda says, Davale Karusa Meyom Ha'hu V'Hala. Because that makes her Arusa from the very, very beginning, because we said that Kesef Kiddushim takes hold, now she's like a Mekudeshet, she's Arusa. And what happens to an Arusa? Who's the Maaseh Adeya go to? Well, it goes to the Aviha. So that means you have to keep an accounting, if you like, and all that sum of whatever Maaseh Adeya she produced would have gone to the father for the entire duration of, that's a nafkamina. Okay, that's understanding the nafkamina. According to Chachamim, you have to keep an accounting then. So Gemara says, Gemara says rejects that note. Afilu kamanda ama maaseh rishona nitan kesef liyudim. Even according to the opinion that says, which is Chachamim, that the maaseh adeya is, sorry, it's from the very beginning, that money that was given over to him, kiddushin, if you like. Still, we say Masi Adea will go to the Ba'ala. Why? Because Nase Kumeli Yishar Mekudeshili Al Menat Shemase Yadayich Shili. Because it's almost like he stipulated with the Kiddushin that it works Al Menat that the Masi Adem go. In other words, financial consideration. And that financial consideration you can make it such a Tnai. So therefore, even if you want to say she would, that well, as soon as he does yield, she could be, she would be Mekudeshim from the beginning, it's almost like the Kiddushin was Al Tnai, stipulated into the Kiddushin that all Maseda, the normal terms of betrothal don't hold, and he would be able to retain the Maseda during that time. So in other words, you can still say there's actually no nafgamina between them when it comes to Maseda at the end of the day anyway. The only real nafgamina that we've seen then, so far in this sugya, or in this sugya, is whether there has to be a Shave Pruta remaining at the end. That still is a nafgamina between the two shit. Okay. We'll continue. We'll more to discuss on Yud, but we'll hear from Mr. Shem next. Shir. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.